You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
There's a lot of podcasts with two nerdy white dudes talking about stupid crap, but we're not the worst.
No.
Oh, no. That's the new intro. I thought of that yesterday walking around H.H. Gregg. Have you ever been to H.H. Gregg or any electronic store? Well, you've been to Best Buy a lot.
Yeah.
I hate how everybody in that fucking store will be like, hey, man, you need help? And like four times, no, I'm just looking. Walk down, look at this thing. Hey, man, you need any help? You want to look at this? No, I'm just looking,
it's
man.
Like
just
back
leave me alone.
Off. I'm trying to steal this game and its plastic coating.
Man, when I was a kid, I used to steal a lot of shit from Walmart. I don't know. We're kind of going here.
We're going there.
I had a shoplifting ring.
What?
That
a ring?
Not a ring, but me and a buddy, I would steal the cheap PlayStation games that they didn't put in the glass. They sold them for like $20, right?
Okay. Like so, the greatest hits.
Some of them were greatest hits. Some of them were just shitty games. But they never had. They just
like Pong.
A whole stack of them, like at the back near the video games. And I'd steal like three or four of these, and I'd walk out, and then I'd take them to junior high, and I'd sell them for $10.
All right, I have questions.
Go ahead.
All right, so how did you steal them? Did you open them up and just take the disc out and just took the disc, or did you take the whole cases?
Whole
too?
Case.
Where'd you put it?
This was. During the time when JNCO jeans were very popular.
Oh, no.
And JNCO jeans had massive pockets.
Yes.
And I had a couple pair of these.
I had several pairs of JNCOs, too.
Of course you did. You're a middle-aged white dude now. Yeah. Of course you had JNCO jeans.
I did.
Yeah. No denying it. But as soon as I said that, you immediately know how I stole them now. You could easily fit like four or five games in those fucking pockets. And that's all I did. And this was before they had like the magnetic... security alarms. Mm-hmm. They just had dudes walking around as like loss prevention people. So
yeah,
pretty easy to do, man. Really,
I imagine it's not that hard to steal out of Walmart nowadays. I haven't because I don't care. I have money, so it's whatever. Yeah. But
I don't need
really.
To.
I think you could just like walk past those sensors, beep, and be like, "Stop me! Do something."
Well,
just keep walking.
I don't think they even can stop you. Like they're not.
I don't think they're legally allowed to.
Not at all. You can totally just walk out and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. That's what happened. I totally shoplifted a lot when I was a kid. I grew out of it because I almost got caught and then got scared and confessed to my mom about it.
When did you almost get caught? What? Lay the scene for me, Kyle.
Well, I mean, it was Walmart. I'm assuming they were wise to our game because we're fucking children and we're not very bright, especially not bright enough to run a professional thieving ring. So after like, I don't know, the sixth or seventh trip, we were walking out, and some dude immediately said, "Hey, you two, stop." And, of course, no. We immediately booked it. I lived very close to Walmart, so we always walked there. And so we sprinted, and I remember very vividly, I ran by the Burger King, and I threw the games that I had stolen away in Burger King because I knew not to get caught with evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just booked it back to my house. But then guilty conscience weighed in, and I confessed to my mom, and...
What did April do?
Well, April went and talked to her lawyer friend who then requested that I give an estimate of how much I had stolen. So I said, I think it was like $300 worth of stuff over the time. So he went and talked to the Walmart management and paid off the $300. And then the next two summers I spent cutting the grass at the apartment complex he owned for free every Saturday. And I was miserable, and I hated it. So don't steal, kids, if you're listening to this.
I mean, I'm glad it kind of ended with the moral message,
yeah,
but
I mean,
God,
really
what a downer. Like, I had this great time shoplifting, and then I had to spend two summers because my mom talked to a lawyer friend. What? Who? What?
Yeah, she
and
wanted to cover my
Walmart?
Ass.
Walmart?
Yeah, it's weird, I know, right? It's totally jacked up.
She paid Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart. That corporation needs
she
some
didn't
more money.
Pay like
the lawyer did.
The
right?
lawyer did. He just took it. He's like, "Well, here, let's say this covers it, blah blah blah, whatever." I don't really know how
it's
it went
absurd.
Down. I wasn't there. This is all secondhand from my mom who told me about it, and that's why we were cutting the grass. So, that sucked cuz every summer
maybe
I
here's
sleep
a thought.
On Saturdays.
Here's a thought. None of that happened.
It definitely
could
have.
Your mom signed you up for cheap labor and then pocketed the money? Because what lawyer pays a Walmart fucking money for potential theft? Like,
well, I mean, if you had known this,
the business is built in with like an amount of theft.
It is.
So they don't care.
If you had known this guy, he was a pretty stand-up guy. It seems like something he would have done. Very, very true. He's not your typical lawyer, but he was a cool guy. And but yeah, that's what I spent 2 summers in junior high doing. It was terrible. I hated every second of it. Caused a lot of arguments with me and old April there. But we're not here. I don't know how we got it. How do we get on shoplifting immediately?
What JNCOs. From JNCOs.
No, but before JNCOs, we got on stealing like somehow really quickly. I don't know how.
Oh, because I made a joke about stealing games. Like, don't help me, guy.
That's
I'm
right.
Stealing games.
That's right. And it was all about H.H.
Little did
Greg.
I know, you were stealing games. So
I totally had done it.
H.H. Greg.
For a while, though, I made a tidy profit, for real. I would sell those for $10 a pop and then turn around and buy games I actually wanted.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Not a bad idea, but it didn't work out in the end.
Yeah.
As most things don't. But other than that, I mean, we're not talking about stealing shit. We could do a whole episode on it. It'd be kind of fun.
Now, next year, Stealing September.
Stealing September, yeah. Yeah, or Thieving Thursdays. Just
Which we'll watch Stealing Harvard, and that's all I've got.
What about Point Break?
Is that a movie about theft? I've never seen it.
And Heat? Heat is like the greatest heist movie of all time, man.
Yeah.
There's so many we could do for Stealing September, but we got so many more stoner movies we're going to have to do next year, man. I was looking at more.
That's
like,
true.
I was looking when I was looking
we
for.
Missed so many.
Dude, so many. I was looking at when I was searching for Harold and Kumar, which is what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. I saw so many, and I'm like, holy fuck. Still so many we just forgot about. Like Grandma's Boy.
Oh.
That is such a stoner movie, man. That's all that movie is stoning and video games.
All right. So sound engineer. Andy, I don't know what we're calling you now.
Andy.
Sound engineer Andry is over there giving the disapproving nod at Grandma's Boy. But you are fucking to the defense of Dude, Where's My Car? Grandma's Boy is like a masterpiece compared to Dude, Where's My Car?
As a fan of Dude, Where's My Car, I will wholly agree with that statement.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Grandma's Boy is amazing that it came from fucking Happy Madison Productions.
Oh my god, yeah.
At the time that it did, because it is the diamond in the rough of like mid to late 2000s Happy Madison.
Oh, it's better like than anything Adam Sandler put out in those years.
And it like holds up to fucking the two greats, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a really, really fun movie to this day. And I can't believe we didn't think about it because it also involves video games.
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
But there's always next year, buddy.
All right, so September, nope, stoner movie September the 2nd.
Yeah, it's got to come back.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned earlier, this episode, we're going to talk about Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, the very first one. I think there's three of these movies.
There's three.
I've only seen the two. I've not seen the
Escape
Christmas
from Guantanamo Bay and then, yeah, the 3D Christmas one.
I never saw that one.
It's okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like,
that's
it's
the
like
way
Guantanamo
I felt about
Bay.
Guantanamo Bay. I was like,
it's
this
like,
is,
it's fine.
It's eh. And yeah. I don't care anymore.
There's a few laughs, but the premise really wore itself out quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of got cheap and really dumb. But I'm excited to talk about this one through some earlier discussion that didn't expose anything. I think we might both be on the same page on this one. So I'm excited to see what the likes and dislikes were.
Yeah.
And where we're going to come down on this one. But before that, we're going to totally rip off Tadpog again. Tyler and Dave, we're totally going to eat on air again because I also learned that you have never eaten a White Castle slider.
No,
so
I have not.
I went ahead and I got us some White Castle sliders.
Cool.
This is going to be your first time.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's going to go over just like that Abba Zabba bar last week, which was, I hate this. I can eat this. That's actually pretty good.
So because of that reason, I actually ended up getting us both two in case you do like it.
We'll see.
You can have it. So they come in these little white boxes.
They're very tiny.
This is just a straight up White Castle slider. No cheese, no nothing special, no frills. They got like 30 of these a piece at the end of the movie. So
it looks like it's just like a very, very thin piece of hamburger and then a bunch of onions. Is that it?
Basically, yeah.
Where's the cheese?
There is no cheese. I didn't get the cheese ones. I didn't.
Do they have cheese though?
They do. They do make a cheese.
But this
version.
Is like the classic, right?
This is the classic slider. Okay. This is what they ate in the movie. So.
I like the tiny box.
The tiny box you can actually use to hold it to eat.
Yeah. Oh, is that how the? Okay.
That's how I've always.
But you
done
have
it.
To like touch the burger.
You do
first.
Have to touch it unless you're.
And it's a burger. Like it, the bun is what you're supposed to touch. I don't know. I'm already over this.
They're very greased-tastic, to say the least.
Oh, good.
So,
are we on the count of?
Yeah.
Three
I mean,
or
you
want
to cheers them?
Cheers.
Cheers. Here's your first White Castle
let's
slider.
Touch slider tips. Oh yeah. All right.
Do you?
Let's play Nightcrawler.
Right, let's eat it. Let's eat this, and then I got an idea. Oh. All right. Question. Totally mowing down on that slider. Oh, I guess it's got a pickle in there, too.
It does, yeah. I didn't see that.
I forgot. I haven't had a slider in a while. It's been a good time.
It sounds like you're really enjoying it.
It's not. I mean, it's garbage food, dude. It is not amazing in any sense. It's a fucking White Castle slider.
But, like, every fast food is garbage food, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how does this compare, this burger, to, like, other burgers? Like, it's just blowing your mind, or are you just like, eh?
It's cool. I think it's very gimmicky, which is what sets it out. It's a very tiny thing. And it's very onion heavy, though, man.
It
wow.
is. They're
really heavy on that onion.
A lot of onion.
Yeah. I can totally see why stoners and drunk people are gravitate towards these.
But really, like any kind of greasy
exactly.
food. Like it doesn't.
It's just, again, it's another staple. But it's what you're going for. Yeah. Are you wanting to eat 10 tiny hamburgers or like one big hamburger?
I don't know. Why not just eat 10 giant hamburgers?
I mean, if you're going for it, dog, go for it.
I don't know.
Also have the joke. They're called sliders because people say they slide right through you. Much like people say Taco Bell gives you bad intestinal problems. I don't
never
agree
have that
with
problem.
It. Yeah, I never have had
Those
it.
Those people must have like the weakest constitutions. Oh, Mexican food's so exotic. I'm shitting my brains out.
Similar
I'm
to
I'm peeing out my butthole.
Similar to the two British women in this movie.
Oh my god.
I totally forgot about that scene in this movie until it happened and I was like, "Oh my god, this is what this is from."
I always remember that scene. It's always stuck out like a sore thumb to me.
Yeah. A lot of things in this movie stick out like a sore thumb, which we're going to get into.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I really was watching this movie, and I was like, god damn, it's going to be another episode where, like, I have nitpicks and complaints. Kyle's like, it's fine. It's good. I like it.
No,
it's
I mean,
funny.
Again, I see this one the same as I see it as Dude, Where's My Car? It's dumb. It's stupid. There's a lot of stupid problems with it. But I can watch it and enjoy it. Mm. I don't have to break it apart. But, again, it's – and it gets – I don't know. We'll get into it. Let's finish these shitty hamburgers.
I mean, what should we talk about while we're doing these sliders?
Did you ever watch the sci-fi show Sliders? That's what I want to know. Are you familiar with this show?
Yeah, Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, right?
I know about it. I've seen like a few episodes, but nothing is in my memory about it. Except there were giant holes they went into, and it was like Quantum Leap, but with like a group.
Yeah.
That's all I
remember. That what it is? They're sliding through time?
Right? Or different universes or something?
Is that what it is? I never knew. I never watched it. That's why I was asking you.
Oh, so you never saw it either.
Uh-uh. I mean, you know, I'm familiar with the show.
That's how I am.
I never ever saw it. What is this? Oh, I got stuff in the... Look at sound engineer Andrew.
Oh,
giving us
so we don't
thing.
Touch
but,
the,
yeah, I,
the equipment.
I think it's bad. I used the box, so the box kept a lot of the grease off the hands.
I'm not.
Ryan went
The
totally,
box is a stupid idea.
Totally
to
Neanderthal.
As a tool.
Well, so if you do want it, I have another one in the bag for you sometime later in the podcast if
I'm
you
okay.
feel the need. It's there. Okay. It's yours.
Maybe sound engineer Andrew can go for it. You can order these online.
I guess. I don't
and
know.
Get them like... ready to pick up at the store. That's pretty
You can
neat.
Do that with Taco Bell, too, I know of. Man, we're
oh,
talking...
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God, I'm burping already. We're talking a lot about fast food in this.
Well, I mean, we're eating...
Opening
fast
monologue.
Fast food, and yeah. then we're going to have a movie about stoners going to get fast food. That's fine.
All right, man.
It's okay.
So I think in our discussions of Stoner Movie September, this one was your recommendation. I think this one stuck out more to you. Is there any reasoning why this one?
Well, I mean, we were on the subject of like Half Baked and Dude, Where's My Car. So I thought like, what's another stoner comedy? And like one of the ones I remember from my late teenage, early 20s was Harold and Kumar, and I thought it was really, really clever at the time. I remember loving it, and I was like, yeah, let's do that one.
Did you see this in theaters?
I did not, no.
I don't think I did either.
I got it on DVD as soon as it came out, and then like that's all you watched in the dorms.
One of those movies that I feel like it gained a lot of its popularity after it was in theaters. It became the cult classic almost. Once you could just DVD it and rewatch it, that's where a lot of its charm came from. I think Super Troopers is very similar to that.
Yes, it is.
Because I remember I didn't even like Super Troopers when I saw it in theaters. I hated it. I thought it was awful.
It hurts. It's so good.
Well, I agree, but like, and I didn't rewatch it again for a long time. But then once I finally did, I was like, "Why did I hate this movie? This movie is amazing."
Well, it has like that indie movie feel. It feels like Kevin Smith almost. Yeah. It's not like joke dense funny like A Dude, Where's My Car or Harold and Kumar, where it's like, let's just throw everything at the wall and see how it works. It's like a quiet, not, I don't want to say quieter movie, but like it takes a while to build up.
Yeah. And it's got, and I think it's got a little bit more depth than those movies. There's a lot going on Super Troopers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That I think gets lost on the first time because it's also so ridiculous at points that, and the way that I think it was advertised when I saw it, I was expecting more of a Harold and Kumar type.
Yeah. It's not that manic ADD editing.
Yes.
Like Dude, Where's My Car and Harold and Kumar. And like you can tell, like these directors, it's the same guy because it's that really quick, like, scene in 2 minutes and let's go into the next thing. And like, we really got to set up this next show, so let's go to the next one real quick. Where Super Troopers is just like,
So this was directed by the same guy as Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, David Linear, or something.
Yeah, I was curious about that. Also because there's a total Dude, Where's My Car reference at the end of this movie.
Which I get now.
Yeah.
That's there.
Yeah, it totally makes sense now. I thought it was just because they were similar movies or came out around the similar time. That makes
Danny Linear.
Yeah.
Not David. Danny.
So much more sense now knowing that's why that's there.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little subtle throwaway, but it works really great.
I think it's clever. It's a nice little nod. Even though I don't like that movie, it's a good nod.
I chuckled when I heard it. I was like, oh, okay, there we go. So let's get into talking about this, man. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
I want some the music montage.
Mm-hmm.
Or not montage, but the music will be as they're chowing down in the White Castle. Is that... That remix.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that song too.
Yeah, it caught me today when I was watching
it. I was really
it.
Digging it as well, so good choice. Yeah. So here's our bumper music for this week's episode before we start talking about Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's do this together. That hit the spot.
All right, so that was the song that they're listening to when they're eating at their triumphant final arrival to White Castle.
Spoiler alert, they make it.
Oh my God.
They get to White Castle.
They do make it. And boy,
now
do they get in.
No reason for you to watch a movie.
Do
now.
They get into some silly antics along the way?
Yeah, some shenanigans.
There we go, shenanigans. I like that. So, I don't know, let's just start from the beginning.
Okay.
I really like that this movie starts off very low key. I think it's setting you up for the way that things are going to progress, but it's showing Harold, who is an investment banker-esque dude, I guess is the general term they're giving him in the movie. He's at work, and his work colleagues who are upper above him decide that they're going to dump their work on him so they can go out and party for the weekend. And
they threaten to go to the boss if he doesn't.
So he decides he's going to have to do it. And then so he calls his buddy, Kumar, who is in the process of interviewing for med school.
With Fred Willard, which is, goddamn, I love Fred Willard.
I do too.
And anytime he pops up in anything,
and it's
I'm happy.
He's, of course, fantastic in this small scene. But Kumar, you know, as soon as he gets the phone call, he immediately stops the interview. He's like, hey, wait, I got to take this. And immediately starts about saying he goes into... He's been very professional up until the point of the phone call. But as soon as he gets the phone call from Harold, he starts going into profanities and talking about how they got to get fucked up and get stoned.
Yep.
Because it's the weekend. And that's bullshit, man. You can't do your work. Come on. And so Fred Willard, of course, is turned off. And you find out that Kumar doesn't care because he really doesn't want to go to med school. But
his dad's essentially just pressuring him.
Yeah,
because
his dad and all of his brothers
naturally gifted at medicine,
which will come into play later, which I like.
But I also, real quick, I like already you see Cal Penn in this role as like a very different character than what he was in National Lampoon's Van Wilder, which came out 2 years earlier,
which was his like, first big break.
It was, and he was like very straight laced
and
kind of
nerdy.
Essentially the Herald.
Very much,
in that movie. He was the Herald assistant to Ryan Reynolds, which is a callback they bring later in too.
What I liked, in the early stages of setting up this movie, is when we finally get to their apartment, and this movie is almost presented as a new age odd couple.
Yeah, I have ethnic odd couple put
yes,
down because
absolutely.
That's what it is. Like,
absolutely.
Harold is Felix and Kumar is Oscar.
Yep.
For sure.
He's just the lazy slob who doesn't care and uses all of the neat neighbor's stuff and ruins it. And so, it's a really nice.
It's a good dynamic. And I swear I'm not going to just refer to Dude, Where's My Car in every Stoner movie we talk about, but it is a nice change of pace as opposed to Jesse and Chester, who are so similar. Like, they don't stick out enough from each other, and I think even you can agree with that.
Well,
there's some
differences. I do actually have a point on that, too, and it's very similar to yours.
Oh,
so
cool.
What I like about this movie, after having watched it so closely to Dude, Where's My Car, and Harold and Kumar, I feel that they actually are friends. Like, they have a real chemistry between them. Whereas I said, in Dude, Where's My Car, it feels like Sean William Scott is trying, but Ashton Kumar is almost really just kind of phoning it in. What I said, Ashton Kumar? Ashton Kutcher. Thanks, Andre, for giving me that call out. Ashton Kumar. I like that. We're going with that.
Ashton Kumar is a good one.
Yeah, I like that. No, they never really have this together. Like, they're just two dudes going through this thing. Whereas in Harold and Kumar, there is a real friendship dynamic between the two.
Yeah, the film gives them a chance to just, like, relax and be friends for a little bit before throwing themselves into an adventure that is probably as wacky, if not wackier, than the Dude, Where's My Car shit.
Yes, and that was one thing that I noticed, too. But we'll get into that.
But, yeah, you have, like, a full, like, 4 or 5 minute scene where they're just on the couch smoking, watching stuff. And that's my favorite part of the movie, or one of my favorite parts, is that whole segment and the drug PSA, the marijuana kills.
I know, man.
And they're just laughing. I'm like, that's so fucking brilliant and clever and small.
Well,
like,
I think that one relates too because, again, I've said that as a dude that used to smoke a lot of weed, I have been in that exact situation where you're really fucking stoned sitting around with your friends and you're watching TV and those stupid, over fucking ridiculous anti-marijuana commercials come on and you just laugh because it's nowhere like real life. Like, nothing like what happens in those commercials happens.
High. Let me play with this gun. Johnny, no!
Nothing can hurt me. It's so stupid, and there's all so
it
much
is.
Like that.
And it's so smart. It's so smart that they don't even talk about it.
No,
like,
they
they're
just laugh
like,
at
they
it.
Laugh. And that's it. That's the joke. Like, I feel like in a lesser
because
comedy,
that's
they would
real
stop
life.
And make fun of it and like talk about it and be like, well, that's dumb. That's not how stoners are. Blah, blah, blah.
Check it out, Harold. I can't get hurt. And like jump off a couch. And then he would get hurt or like hurt his balls or something.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
there are a good number of ball and dick jokes in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And I love a good ball and dick
and
joke.
And farts.
Yeah. There's a lot of farts. So, I mean, all right. So what are your thoughts on the beginning of this movie?
I think the beginning is really strong. I think the first 30 minutes are maybe perfect comedy material. I think once they get to the school, it kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff starts to get into like the too wacky and raunchy for raunch sake humor, where it's like, it's not funny. It's just trying to be shocking. And we'll talk about that more later. And I think from that point on, it's a little bit more hit and miss. Like, it's never bad, but there are bad elements and there are really good elements and like really strong, smart stuff. But then like 5 minutes later, there's like I said, like a scene where there's just like farts for like a minute straight. And you're just like, okay.
It really, once it
it's frustrating.
To me, once it gets to the school, it really starts to detach itself from reality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So like at the beginning, we're pretty grounded. We have established characters. We understand their dynamic and their relationship. And then things start to come in that are just eschewing this entire thing that we've been shown. And things start ramping up. And then they get to a really fantastical level. And
at what point's the fantastical level? I think they jumped there pretty quickly and kind of just stay in that fantastical realm.
For me, well, the ultimate jumping the shark is when they're fucking riding a cheetah through the forest. That is just complete. There's no basis in reality at that point. We've thrown everything out.
I think I'm out at about the time Freak Show and his wife come in, because obviously, like, that's a joke. There's no reality in which these Jesus-loving people are down for three ways and foursomes and blowjobs with strangers and that whole thing. It's just like, this is just comedy for the sake of comedy. It's a sketch. It's the same shit I was saying in Dude, Where's My Car? It's like, there's no reason for this to be here. It's just a funny idea they wanted to put in the movie.
It becomes a bunch of smaller vignettes that are somehow surreptitiously connected to make a movie. But on that note,
and it's I think it's done well enough.
It's
where
done,
it's still entertaining.
I think it works better than Dude, Where's My Car? Because it's not so jarring. Like in the overall world, Freak Show and his wife fit in, whereas the gay Nordic dudes or the hot bimbos are just they're very. Here's this, laugh at it. So I mean, I still agree with you to that point. But I still find it funny. I like the Freak Show bits. It's just, it's weird. But here's my thing. I think the thing that I like about Freak Show is the fucking actor who's playing
Chris Maloney.
Oh my God. He's so fun all the time. Again, you can just tell he's loving this role. He's just fucking eating it up and having a blast.
And I'm not super into some of the gross out stuff his character does. Like, they have specific shots that are just looking at the boils pussing out on his face. I'm like, come on, like, that's not needed. But like, his weird intonation and delivery is really good for like a character that is really dumb. And like, you know, put Andy Dick in this, I hate it. But like, Chris Maloney brings something actually kind of clever and smart to this dumb character.
Chris Maloney is a smart actor, and he enjoys comedy. I mean, he was in fucking Wet Hot American Summer. He knows.
He's so good as a chef.
Yeah, that's the thing. He knows comedic timing. He understands it, and he can play with it well. And he does in this role. He just has so much fun. And he's one of the highlights of the movie for me, I think.
Like, ooh, that's real strong.
It is, because I'm seeing it like, I'm like, I cannot believe that's this dude, and he's just going crazy with this.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to me.
I will say, it is a virtually unrecognizable Chris Maloney. Like, he is transformed.
In a lot of prosthetics.
And the first time I saw it, I was like, is that Chris Elliott in makeup? Because like, it looks like Chris Elliott, but with a few more boils.
Yeah,
like,
with a few more. Nice.
Chris Elliott can fuck off, too. Yeah. He's in the Andy Dick camp. Like,
very
those
similar.
Two can just...
Yeah. Although I do love him in Scary Movie 2.
No.
But that's it. That's it. Well, that's another thing, another discussion.
Okay. Well, goddamn it.
It's so dumb.
It is.
I'm not saying he's amazing at it. It's so stupid.
Take my strong hand.
That's why I love it. It's so stupid.
Okay.
You can love stupid, man. I'm going to get you down to this.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. It's not going to happen. There are stupid things I like in this movie, though. There are stupid things.
Give me
like
some examples.
Movie.
Let's talk about them.
Surprisingly, all right, here's one. Cameo. From somebody I absolutely hate, and I don't understand why Hollywood ever tried to make him a thing, Jamie Kennedy.
Oh my God, yes! He's fucking amazing in this cameo.
I don't like him at all. And his character is so stupid and underwritten, But it's so weird. Funny. It's weird.
Yeah, it's so good, man.
So Kumar's, Kumar is peeing outside. He stopped in the road to go pee in a bush. And then this weird guy in a tux with like the creeper paper thin mustache and slicked hair.
Super greasy hair.
It's Jamie Kennedy. He just pulls up right next to him in the same bush and starts peeing.
And you get, they're out in the middle of nowhere. So it's there's like, where did this guy come from?
There are so many bushes around. Yeah. Like you go anywhere else. And like, that's what the debate is. It's like, why are you here, dude? What?
Like everything he says is so off-putting, and is
this your bush? Yeah. Mr. Bush.
I love it, man. I love Jamie Kennedy at that bit. It was that's the thing too. You know, I know you had a real big problem with cameos and Dude, Where's My Car, and I think this movie handles them so much better.
Yeah, like, I do. I do too.
Amazing, and they serve purpose besides being look at this famous person.
Agreed.
So
I think so. I was like, I don't know if there's one that goes against that. No, I think they're all pretty great.
Like even the Neil Patrick Harris, the most famous cameo.
Best one. Oh my God. Yeah.
And that totally reignited his career.
I mean, that's the character Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother is just the PG version of Neil Patrick Harris coming in a backseat with strippers and lap dances.
Yeah.
Like that's what that character
and
is.
And it is amazing because even before this movie, it was well established that, you know, Neil Patrick Harris came out as gay. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's right.
It was no secret. But then to have him play such a horn dog. Fucking, oh man, it's just, again, everybody talks about the Neil Patrick Harris cameo. And
it's brilliant.
It really, it works so well in this movie. I love it. He's tripping X in the back seat and just wants to find some fucking beef. It's,
some fur burgers.
Yeah, some fur burgers. What are the, I mean, there's Fred Willard.
I loved him. Ryan Reynolds pops up. Man, we didn't talk about him.
Again, dude, Ryan Reynolds is always amazing.
He's really good.
Dude, he's so fun in this one.
Yeah, I think he's doing something really great. I think that cameo kind of teeters off by the end because then it just turns into like the weird homophobic, like, let's laugh because he's gay and into Kumar. And I'm like, okay. Like, he was really funny before that, and now he's just being, you know, kind of obvious and...
I like it when...
Ryan Reynolds can do so much more. Yeah. Give him more to work with.
I think, I think Ryan Reynolds knows why he's there, and he is also just having fun.
Yeah.
I love it when, like, Harold's like, can I get... He's like, shh, no, go away, go away. He doesn't care about Harold at all.
He's just into Kumar.
I don't know, this movie, it jumps around a lot. It has so, again, it starts to get real fantastical.
The editing's really weird.
It is really weird, and I think it...
It jumps.
It starts to take a toll on the movie. It starts to really drag towards, like, the last half hour to 15 minutes, I feel. I feel like the whole cheetah scene is completely unneeded. Like,
Well, that's because of the... I agree with that. The cheetah thing is so dumb. I don't know. All right, so maybe this is me being super square. I don't fucking get, like, the humor in, like, getting animal stone. And, like, this one and Dude, Where's My Car, like, the dog gets stone. And, like, that's the joke. It's just, like, it's an animal stone or smoking. Like, isn't that funny? It's like, not really.
I don't really care. Yeah, it's really dumb. I agree with you. And it serves no purpose. It moves the plot along. Not at all. Like... It's the joke that they're riding a cheetah, and then immediately...
They go the opposite direction. So, really, it does the opposite of moving the plot along.
Yeah, like, nothing happens because of that outside of they have an interaction with a cheetah. Okay. And they talk about it, like, two or three times in the movie before the cheetah shows up that there's an escaped cheetah from the zoo.
Yeah.
And then it just... There's no payoff. Who cares? Why? I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's totally worthless.
I agree.
It's in the movie. It's like, hey, let's be wacky.
I agree. It's really reminiscent of the Discovery Channel stuff in Dude, Where's My Car, where it's like, yeah, technically it counts as a payoff because you set it up and then you paid it off later. It doesn't mean it's good.
See,
it's a good payoff.
I don't think this even has a payoff, though.
I think it's worse than that one.
Nothing happens. Like, it didn't get them anywhere.
Agreed.
It broke Harold's fucking computer, which maybe solved some things at the end. But
it didn't
still,
really, though.
Yeah.
It didn't really, though. And there's some script issues too. I'm jumping around too. But like, if we're talking about the end where it starts to drag, like they get arrested, or Harold specifically gets arrested.
I do like the beginning before that when he does get arrested. I think that scene's great.
I do too.
He immediately starts to jaywalk, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the cops.
He looks to the left. There's nothing. Completely empty street. Looks to the right. Completely empty street. Boop boop.
Takes one step. He doesn't even put his foot in the street, and then the cop pulls up. And
And that's a good piece of editing. That's like really sharp. But you get to the prison, right? And it's all kind of obvious, like, what they're going for. But, like, I do appreciate the fact, like, there's a black guy in there who was, you know, not discriminated against by the police and, like, racially profiled. And he's just in there. And Harold's like, why are you in here? Oh, I'm black. And then he gives, like, the sage advice. Well, just, like, how do you deal with it? Well, you know, you can't let them get down to you. The universe will end up working itself out. I was like, that's a really cool message. And then the movie doesn't do anything with it. And in fact, the universe does nothing.
It references that point.
Does everything from that point on. Like,
the universe has no effect. Yeah,
right?
I agree
with
you.
Okay, you noticed that.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
Like, that's a fucking wonderful message that you just drop the ball on, movie. Like, what the fuck? Then why are we even there? Why do we even get that? Because it doesn't affect anything.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, Kumar has called the police to pulled them all out, and he said that there's a shooting, and so the police come back with another black guy that they pulled out of his bed asleep and are attempting to label him as the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. I do like the scene at the end where, like, Harold's almost like, Mick, we can't let this happen. We got to do something about this. And the black dude that just got arrested, he's like, man, if I was y'all, I'd just get out of here. Just go on. Just get out. So it's... But again, yeah, I hate that. Again, it's another big buildup that has no payoff.
No.
Like, there's a lot of those. Like, they're setting you up and just letting you down. Like, nothing comes of it.
I agree.
And then,
completely.
I don't know. Let's talk about
talk about the racial stuff, because this movie is all about the racial dynamics in America, essentially. Like, that's what that scene in the prison is. Mm-hmm. Like, the movie ends with, like, an artist rendition or an artist sketch of what Harold and Kumar look like. And it's, like, the most stereotypical offensive, like, Asian man with a hat with, like, the very flat, thin eyes and, like, Kumar in a turban and everything. And, like, they're just laughing at it because it's so fucking backwards.
I like when they pull into New Jersey and they see the two dudes that look similar to them get fucking beat up. They're like, come on, look, that's like the lame version of us. This place can't be too bad. And then they immediately get beat up and robbed. And then they see them later.
That's a nice callback. I like that one.
I do enjoy that one.
He says, are those the guys from... I know. Let's go. Come on. I know.
I also really like the scene where Kumar is... He sees the giant bag of weed in the police station and then has this elaborate fantasy about his life with it.
Yes and no.
I mean, it's really dumb, again, but I get.
Yeah.
I think we've established, I like really dumb. I think, honestly, my favorite part is when, like, life has gone on, and he's sitting there doing the taxes.
That's the part I don't like.
Oh, that's my favorite part! And so his bag of weed wife brings him coffee, and immediately drinks it, spits it out, says, learn to make a fucking cup of coffee, you stupid bitch! And, like, smacks her, and then she's crying, and then he's consoling her, like, I'm sorry, I love you. I don't know. It's so stupid and funny.
It's stupid and funny and very cynical, but it's just like, that's like the kind of humor that was in Dude, Where's My Car? Where it's just like eye rolling. It feels like it's like aiming right at the bro culture before bro culture was even a thing. Like, I don't think there were bros back, or they weren't calling themselves bros.
Okay, they weren't, but they were definitely bros because there's a whole fucking gang of them in this movie.
The extreme skater punk.
Yeah.
And I hate everything about them.
And I think you're supposed to.
Except there is like one meta line that I fucking laugh my ass off on this visit, which is like something bad happens and like one of the guys goes, dude, that was very not extreme. He's like, I know, extreme skater punk number one. I know. So it's like a meta callback because like in the movie credits, like it's going to be called extreme skater punk number one, number two, number three, and then leader.
I really, I like, it's so dumb. And again, it's, I like when, they're at the gas station and they're walking by their fucking truck playing the new metal song. And all if you listen, the lyrics are just like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
No, I didn't notice that.
Dude, it's such a good little fucking.
Actually, that's pretty brilliant. Too.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a fun little thing because that's what all that new metal bullshit is. It's just the same thing.
Same chord progression, same fucking lyrics, everything.
Same,
I agree.
Oh, I was like, man. And that was something I didn't notice until this time. And
I didn't notice that at all.
And I was like, that's really fucking good. I like that because that's true
a good
to life.
Touch, yeah, that's a good touch. I also like once Harold and Kumar steal their Jeep thing, that they listen to the music they're actually listening
to.
They
listen to Wilson Phillips.
And Wilson Phillips.
I love that Wilson Phillips song. I was singing along with him when they go crazy on it, man. I love that part.
I do think this movie has a much better soundtrack than Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah.
They also like that marijuana wife scene, like they use Crazy on You to like fantastic effect. Yeah. I love that. Like that's brilliant putting mm-hmm. those two things together. So I don't know, where do we go from here? Like we've been all over the place.
We have.
So Harold and Kumar specifically, do you have a leaning towards either one? Like, do you find one more interesting to watch than the other?
I think, personally, I would relate more to Kumar, but I find I like Harold more.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just, I don't know why. I just, maybe it's John. I love, what's his face, too? I can't think of his name.
Cal Penn.
I just like John Cho as the straight man. I think he does it really well.
He's a very good straight
and
man.
And I like it when he lets go, mm-hmm. which he does a couple of times.
Yeah.
Whereas Kumar, I should say, he's always Kumar.
Yeah.
Nothing really ever changes there.
Mm-mm. I agree. That's I find myself more relating to Harold because I'm usually like the straight man in situations, and I think it's not refreshing because I think a lot of people do this, but to give a character like the love story, and he's like the ne'er-do-well who can't really, you know, stick up for himself or anything, vastly more interesting than I think Kumar's arc. But even Kumar's arc is like he's so good at the hospital stuff, and he's trying to rebel against his dad.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie, he comes around and sees that, like, well, he was afraid of being stereotyped as like that Indian guy who's so good at this, and like he's just another nerdy Indian man. And I think that's all much more interesting than Jesse and Chester, which are just, let's get gifts from our girlfriends. And I mean, that's their arc.
Yeah, that
like
is
they
their
don't
arc.
Really change.
They don't
or grow.
Grow exactly.
And that's just it. So already, like, I'm more into that this movie for that very reason.
I just want to throw this out there.
Because go for it.
I know this was a thing that you had contention with in Dude, Where's My Car? This movie, you play it up as more favorable towards races, but it's got a lot of racism in it too, I feel.
It does, but I think the race, I'm curious as to what specific examples you're going to bring up, but I think the racism in this is done towards a point. There's a point to it. It's not just like we're laughing at the stereotypes, it's we are laughing at the people who think that shit's funny. Like when Kumar is empowered and he like goes out the window and he's like, thank you, come again, and flips him off.
I like that one because it's a call, because the white guy said it to him earlier,
and that's
in a racist tone.
The white guys are like, I think we're not supposed to root for them. So them being so racist and horrible and shitty, same with like the two businessmen from the beginning, one of which is Ethan Embry, which we didn't talk about. And like, goddamn, I love that guy. I was really disappointed he went off the map after what's that party movie? With Jennifer Love
Hewitt.
Oh,
Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah, and he kind of just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then he came back for, like, Cheap Thrills, and, like, now he's, like, fucking jacked and swollen. Mm-hmm. Like, actually a good actor. But anyway, so I think those two guys from the beginning and the skater punks are wrong-headed. The cops, too. They're obviously racist and, like, backwards, and, like, they're the villains of this movie, as opposed to, like, Dude, Where's My Car, where it's like Jesse and Chester are doing these misogynistic things and like making these jokes and like laughing or being afraid of the transgendered woman thing, whatever that was. I can't even remember right now. But like that's kind of, I don't know, that's how I differentiate it in my head, is one does seem like it's just like, this is funny because it's different. And one is like, isn't it funny that people think it's funny that this is different?
See,
I think there's just like a little twist on it.
No, here's where I was excited.
I would like
to talk
hear.
About,
yeah,
because I think this movie is better at those parts where you're talking about twisting it, but it also, I don't care about this stuff. I think it's fine either way, but if I want to nitpick,
go for it.
I feel that like they glorify Neil Patrick Harris in his extremely misogynistic ways.
Mm-hmm.
They glorify, or not glorify, but they. Harold himself is almost, when he talks to the other Asians at the Ivy School, they're making them bad stereotypes in that sense. And like, Harold's ashamed of them. for the way that they are.
But they follow up with immediately showing like those Asians for how they are, which crunk. Is like partying and like Bobby Lee and from Mad TV is like seeing some tits and giving out weed. And it's like,
and he's
clearly
talking
flipping
about,
on the head.
He's talking about how he's going to end up with the girl no matter what. It doesn't matter. And that I felt that way. But the one that really stuck out to me, and it's a throwaway. And that's why I'm not.
I'm so curious.
So when Harold is having his vision dream thing where he's got Maria.
Yeah.
They're in like a movie. Did you see what Maria's name is?
I did not notice.
It is Maria Chalupa.
No.
That is her last name.
That's not good.
I know, man. That's what I'm saying. It's just.
I think that one's bad. I think the other ones I can like kind of argue and defend. That one's not
that is her last name.
That's bad.
It's Chalupa.
Ugh.
So again, it's very subtle. You would only see that if you saw on their movie posters, and that's what, because they never call her last name. She's just Maria. But again, I was like, damn, really? That's what they went with?
Huh.
And I don't know if it was because in Harold's mind, he doesn't really know her last name.
But then he went with Chalupa, which is like one of the most stereotypical offensive things you could do.
Exactly. So,
oh, that's again, bad. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Harold and Kumar are shitbags, just like Jesse and Chester.
But I think it's just dumb. Like, who cares? It's not offensive. No Mexican is upset.
Nobody's going to be offended by it. I just think it's the easy, obvious thing to have, like, a
there
Hispanic character, and her last name is Chalupa.
There, I will
like,
give you. It's easy and obvious stuff. Like, and not super funny.
This woman has a dick. Ha, ha, ha. Like, that's hilarious. Like, no, it's like, bottom humor. Like, you can do better than this. Like, push yourself a little bit more. Like, that's how I feel with it. It's not like, oh, man, I am wounded by these offensive stereotypes and caricatures. Like, no, it's fine. It's whatever. It is just lazy and uninspired. And that Chalupa gag... lazy and uninspired.
So let's turn this around now, because I don't like how somehow we've turned every stoner movie into breaking down their racial impact on cinema and America as a whole.
Well, not everyone has to be, but like, am I wrong? This one has overt themes on racism.
Oh, it does.
Like,
it
is very much a movie about
especially
that.
The cops and like their. Like, I mean, even still today, the dichotomy between police and black people in America is something it's even more contentious than it was at this time.
It's like, still very
at
prescient.
This point, you could still make a joke about it. I don't think you could make a movie now making this throwaway joke.
No, not after Fruitvale Station and that kind of stuff that has come out. No, you couldn't do that.
No, absolutely not. It wouldn't be funny. People would think it is in bad
taste. It's taking it lightly.
Yeah.
It would be considered hashtag ignorant.
Hashtag ignorant is a good good usage of that hashtag. Freak Show's wife, though, man. She's got a nice set of titties.
Malin Ackerman.
Yeah. She loves to show those
Silk
things
Spectre
off, too.
From Watchmen.
Yeah, and also she's on Children's Hospital. I don't know if you've ever watched that show.
No, but I wanted to because Rob Corddry's in it.
Oh, he's
and
great in it.
He amuses me sometimes.
And
sometimes.
Also, Holly's boyfriend from The Office. I cannot think of his name. His name's AJ.
Holly's boyfriend? Holly, like Holly the one Flex. Michael Scott ends up with?
When she moves away to that
her
other...
boyfriend.
Yeah, his name's AJ. He's in Children's Hospital. He's pretty funny.
I'll have to look him up. I can't remember her boyfriend from The Office.
I really enjoy Children's Hospital. It's pretty good.
I'll have to give it a chance. I've not seen an episode yet.
But she's
yet.
In that too. But yeah, she's Silk Spectre, and she shows her boobies off in that movie. Chick likes to be naked, and good for you, because if you got to flaunt it, girl, that's all I'm going to say. I really like that. And when they almost go to start to touch her boobs, and then Freak Show pops in.
Yeah.
He's like... well, how about we get this four-way going? I know.
Oh,
I agree with you.
it's completely unrealistic, but whatever. But he's just like, what are you doing? You said we could fuck your wife. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you
said
did.
Yeah, you did. That's I did.
Did I say that? I might have. Freak Show. I like when they're in the van and they're having, or in the truck, and they're having this big discussion. Like, and Harold's, again, as a straight man, is like, dude, we're fucking right next to him. He can hear us. And Kumar's like, no, dude, he can't. Look at all that shit in his ear. He ain't hear nothing. And then it's just like a couple of beats of silence. And then I heard everything she had. And that's where the scene ends. And it's so awkward. And you're like, well, is he mad about it? What's going on here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, too. Are there any other cameos? We got Ryan Reynolds.
I don't think I have anything else written down about the cameos.
Ryan Reynolds was a really fun one.
I mean, I guess it's not a cameo, but like we talk about Manny and Chavez, the Eddie K. Thomas and David Krumholtz.
Oh, the Jew guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, watching it this time, I was like, why did they never do a spinoff with those two? Like, I'd watch a movie with those two.
I think, honestly, that was maybe a plan.
They should have.
I really think they should have.
National Lampoon's Van Wilder, they had like a theatrical release, and then they did Van Wilder 2, Taj's whatever, yeah, whatever his name was in that movie. And it was direct-to-DVD. Give me a direct-to-DVD movie with these two, because I think they're pretty great,
I would have liked, because we encounter them, too, in almost similar situations that we run in with Harold and Kumar. And I would like to see the other side, like their arc, what they're getting into and their antics. Because I'm sure it was also something crazy, and all they want to do is end up at the hot dog hut.
Yeah.
After they check out Katie Holmes' tits in The Gift.
Really, what? I love that, too. I have the line written down so I could remember it. But I love as we're watching it. Like, Katie Holmes is a nice, respectable girl. And I'm going to see her boobs.
Yeah.
This is like the very, like, weird way he says boobs. Like, it made me laugh.
I like, okay, so if we're going to talk about our favorite scenes with those, mine is when they run into him and they almost crash. And he comes up and he's like, hey, man, so how's the tits? And he's like, yeah, you know the Holocaust? Yeah, it's the opposite of that.
Like, it's Harold is just like dumbfounded by it, but Kumar's like,
oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
makes sense.
It's so fucking out of nowhere, and I loved it. I was like, yeah, all right, I totally get behind that.
Yeah.
You know, you think of the Holocaust? Yeah, the opposite of that. That works really well.
All right. Do you have a lead? Are you going somewhere?
Not really. I'm just trying to think of other things that I liked. Bobby Lee was really funny for his short time in this movie. Oh, I know what we haven't talked about.
I feel like Bobby Lee was in another movie I just watched for the show.
What about fucking Battleships?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. I hate it. I just hate everything about it. I've hated it since 2004 when this movie came out.
It's so fucking shoehorned in and out of nowhere.
It's that fucking joke. They eat tacos and then they shit. And I guess they're in a soul. And they're playing a game called Battleships, which apparently it's not a game. They just shit and then they say dumb things that relate to Battleships. Yeah. There's like no rules or logic to it, which is whatever. Like that's my OCD thing. Like why couldn't you make a game? Like it could have been that hard.
I've never heard of this game. And the joke is that they're two very propish British women.
And I like propish British women.
Proper British women. And they're taking giant shits in the bathroom.
And it just devolves into, like, literally, like, a minute straight of fart and shit noises.
And I like fart and shit jokes. God, this is just awful and cringy. Yeah. Like,
yeah, think about the Holocaust. It's exactly like that. not to despair.
It's full of terrible, smelly gas that kills the movie.
Oh, no!
I brought that back for you.
I think you just won podcasting.
I brought that back for you. No.
Super offensive. I love it.
That part is so dumb. And it's just a setup to like, oh, here's these hot British chicks. But, oh, they shit really loud. Ha ha.
Yeah.
But again.
That's it.
It goes on really long. I don't think it's ever funny.
No.
I've had some friends that they really like the joke, I guess. And they're always like, not anymore, but when it was, you know, popular, they'd talk about Battleships all the time. And I'm like,
ugh. That'd be like a litmus test.
Why are you talking? Like, that part is awful. It's so dumb.
I would crop out that scene and just show people and be like, what do you think? And if your immediate thing is like, you think it's funny, we can't hang out. Like, we cannot be cool, you and I. Like, we'll never have anything in common.
Yeah, that's so...
It's not good.
Even as a fan of dumb, like, it's just too dumb, man.
Yeah, like, there's a few of those little touches. And, like, Battleships is offensive because it's so long and it really beats that joke down into the ground. But there's other things, like, when they're hang gliding and Kumar looks and sees, like, a dick and balls in a crop field. It's like, what? Really? Like, what?
Again, yeah, it's stupid.
What?
But I think at that point, I hadn't laughed in such a long time. I was like, okay, digging balls. I'll give a giggle at that.
That's fair.
Also, like, again,
wait. That scene's really close to the Harold dream sequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I laughed so hard. I think it's like one of the most clever lines in this movie is, Bullets, my only weakness. How did he know?
Yes,
I think that line is so smart.
Ah, bullets, my weakness. How did you know? That's great. Yeah, I do. I had a note to talk about that section, so I'm glad you brought that one up. Also, how fucking far into the woods do they drive? Because it was fucking midnight when they pulled in there, and then all of a sudden they get the hang glider set up after the cop pulled in, and then the cop's finally getting there. Oh, it's fucking like 8 in the morning.
It's some of the worst editing.
And it's like, what is happening here?
Yeah, it literally goes from pitch black, and then they show like the sun, and then like it's daytime. And yeah. I'm like, no. This is not editing shorthand. Like, you can't fucking do that.
But like, so they show, like they make a point to show the cop finding where they turned in, and it's still pitch black.
Yeah.
And it takes that long for him to get there that it's suddenly full daylight?
Yeah. An hour. He'd have to be driving like an hour for it to change
for
like
sure.
that.
For sure.
It's bad editing. And there's a lot of lazy editing in this movie. I don't know if you noticed, but I wrote them down. But there are like this director. I don't like this director. Mm-hmm. And I think he made a funny movie in spite of himself in Harold and Kumar.
He got lightning in a bottle.
He did. And I think he's never going to do anything again that's nearly as good because I think he's a hack. But like I noticed on this go round, like they do this joke gag, this editing gag, which is like, I'm not going to go to Cindy Kim's party. Cut to Cindy Kim. They're at the party. We're not going to hospital. You're fine. Cut to them at a hospital. And like that joke pops up like every 15 minutes. And it's like, it's so lazy. And then like they also do the jokes of like, you're worthless. Well, I'm not worthwhile. Leanne's hot. She's not ugly.
Yeah.
It's like, are you trying to be like Wayne's World? Like Wayne and Garth and like kind of do like a no way thing? Like, I don't know what you're doing.
I remember that one too because he says, man, she is so fucking hot. And, well, she's not ugly.
Oh, the other one is, dude, we're so high right now. We're not low. It's like, what does that even fucking mean?
Yeah. I had, when you put them all together like that, it is really ridiculous.
Yeah.
The only one that stuck out to me was Leanne.
I noticed it this time. I was like, that's really fucking lazy. Like, you are using the same visual shorthand. Like, this is... but I mean, whatever. This guy has not done anything since Harold and Kumar. So, the world's a better place.
It is a stoner movie. You're generally supposed to be very stoned watching this, I feel.
Well, like Casey last week, I was the straight-laced, like, not fucking doing anything through college until like I think it was like my last year that I tried but I watched this in college, like thought it was completely fine. That's not true. I loved it. I thought it was really, really funny. So I don't think you have to be, or like it's intended for you to smoke or like
but
be
I'm
in
saying
a different
those things
mindset.
Probably like you can hear the same repeated joke in a different context and you're not gonna notice if you're stoned as fuck.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true, because the short memory.
Yeah.
And you just forget it.
That's my thought.
You forget that they made that same joke already 5 times in this movie already.
But so finally, they do reach the penultimate?
Are you going for penultimate?
There we go. Penultimate end.
No, penultimate's like the second to last. So like if there's 22 episodes
So they reach the final fucking conclusion, and they get to White Castle.
The ultimate conclusion. Like, it's ultimate.
They get there. God damn it. Just like I eventually got there and my over-descriptive word choices.
Yeah, the universe corrected itself and worked itself out. I had nothing to do with that.
Not at all, man. You totally didn't steal the keys and drive that segment to where I was intending. Not at all.
No.
So they get there and they finally get their White Castles. And they both order 30 fucking burgers. 5 orders of fries and 4 drinks, man.
4 Cokes and then 4 Diet Cokes for Kumar.
Dude, I have never in my life, as stoned as I was, ever even contemplated eating that much fucking food. I couldn't. There's no way. Do you think the adventure contributed to this too?
Maybe. And they have not eaten at that point for like 10 hours, right? Because if, let's say, they go out like midnight, right? It's daybreak, so that's like at least 7-8 hours before they get to White Castle. Actually, that's not that long to go without eating. That's called just like sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess not. How many White Castles would you fit into like one burger? Like, would you say like if you eat 3 White Castles, that's the size of a burger?
I'd say 3 is a pretty good estimation.
So they're eating 10 regular hamburgers. No, I've never eaten that much.
Plus,
could not.
5 orders of fries. and four fucking Cokes, man. There's just no way, dude. That's so much fucking food.
That's true.
I don't get.
Yeah. That's true. And you know, yeah, it doesn't make sense. This one and then the $9,600 bag of weed and half baked. It's like absurd.
Yeah.
You guys don't know how the world works. Yeah. Nobody eats 30 burgers and 5 fries and no bag of weed.
It's cost $10,000.
$9,600.
It's not fucking heroin. It's not cocaine, all right?
No.
So, yeah.
That would make sense. We need to do like cocaine May.
Also, I wanted to give you credit. I've been thinking about Scarface. This for a long, long time. So, This movie is rated R.
Mm-hmm.
Dude Where's My Car was PG-13, but you had a throwaway joke towards the end of that one where you said, Dude Where's My R? I think you were saying that this movie would have been better rated R.
Yeah.
Or Dude Where's My Car would have.
Agreed.
And I keep coming back to, I'll be at work and I'll be thinking of you saying Dude Where's My R. And it's like, God damn, that's right. And that is such a fucking perfect, poignant use of that phrase. Bravo, Ryan.
Thank you. It only took me 40 episodes to actually come up with something clever.
No, it was
there
great.
There it was. Downhill from here. We peaked. It's over.
I wanted to make sure you got proper credit for that because that was really fucking hilarious and amazing.
Well, thank you.
I didn't give it the proper credit in that episode, so.
That's okay.
So, final thoughts. Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
I think it's... Man, I think it's a good enough film. It's not great. I think it's better left in your memory. Probably like Dude Where's My Car.
Okay.
I think you have diminishing returns going back to it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's aged particularly well. I think for as clever as it was in 2004 with like the racial commentary, we've far evolved past that point now that I think it's very simplistic and one note in what it's trying to say, which is not necessarily a bad thing. At least it was trying to do something, but there are some bits that work. There are some bits that don't. It's a very mixed bag and comedy is always subjective. So like, you know, if stoner movies are your thing, you can do much worse than Harold and Kumar, but it's not the best either. It's somewhere in the middle and whether it's a good or bad will vary, I think.
Very similar to your assertion of Dude, Where's My Car? I think if you've watched Harold and Kumar Goes to White Castle when you were younger and coming up and you liked it, you're going to like it still. I enjoyed it about as much as I enjoyed watching Dude, Where's My Car? I had some laughs. Yeah, I mean, it's what it is. If you've seen it, you know it. If you haven't, at this point, there's better.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... You can watch it, maybe, but I think it's hanging on by nostalgia at this point.
I'd say that's more than fair.
So that's my final thoughts. It's not bad.
No,
I enjoyed it. It's watchable. It's dumb. It's stupid.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that's
overall.
I think mine might be slightly more positive than yours, but not by much. Not by much.
So I guess. We'll wrap it up. I got one more question. Since this movie did involve a massive road trip, did you ever take any big road trips with your friends or anything like that?
The biggest road trip I've taken with friends was when I was in North Carolina. We drove to the beach for spring break, and it was like maybe a 6 or 7 hour drive from where we were in the mountains.
Damn. Where'd you live in North Carolina? Raleigh?
No. We were up in Appalachian State. So we were in the Appalachian Mountains when we did this.
Okay.
And then we drove to the beach, which is on the opposite side of the state. So
Fair
we went
enough.
A long way, which is...
And North Carolina is a long state.
It is. It's like a giant
South
foot.
Carolina. Yeah.
It's literally a giant left foot.
So, and then you stayed there for spring break, so you're there for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the first time I drank alcohol.
Really?
Was that Wait. Freshman trip.
Okay, so you're freshman high school?
Freshman college. I'm telling you, like, I was like Casey Reuter. Like, I was straight edge for like the longest part of my life.
Such an L7 weenie.
I was. What's
L7? L7. You're square, bro.
Oh. Wait. Where did this come from? How does everybody know what L7 is?
Well, I got it. That description is from The Sandlot. He calls him an L7 weenie.
Oh. Okay.
Such an L7 weenie, Smalls.
I did not remember that from The Sandlot.
I love The Sandlot. I've watched it a shit ton of times. But, yeah, you could also do that.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was six, 7 hours, that was your longest?
That's the longest. What about you?
I mean, I've been a musician. I've been in a lot of bands. I've been on tours a lot. I went on tour with one band for a week. Me and my hip hop group. We went on tour for like 4 or 5 days. We went all the way up to Canada. That was a cool time.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, because we stopped. We played at a music fest like 2 days before, and we got really tripped out on shrooms. And then we lost our van driver, and we couldn't find him for like most of the night. And then we woke up the next morning and found him because he fell asleep under the van. We're like, hey, we're all together. It was a fun time. But I mean, this place took, it was like in a giant fucking, like, I don't know, 400 acres of farmland. There were like 4 or 5 stages.
Weird.
So, I mean, when we lost him, we were fucking flipping out. That's, plus we were on shrooms.
That's a big venue.
Yeah, it was huge, man. But that was a fun time. Yeah, I've done a lot of big road trips. Nothing as fantastical as Harold and Kumar ever happened to me.
No.
When I was in marching band, we did big trips all the time, and I got a lot of action on the marching band bus trips.
Yeah?
We took a bus trip down to Florida, I remember. I got a lot of handies. The high school staple.
I
was going to
ask about what kind of action. There you go. Thank you.
When I was a freshman, I touched my first pair of boobs
this?
And got my first
You don't use the
hand
other
job.
Fingers? Is a tiny what? Dick?
Yeah, when
is
you that, got a freshman little, tiny dick.
Is
you,
a little freshman
only,
tiny dick?
You only use the okay sign to jerk yourself. That's all
or
you
the
need.
Asshole.
Yeah, huh? Okay.
Well, look at that.
Man, I would have thought of that when I was jerking it as a tiny dick freshman.
Yeah, right?
Using the asshole. I don't know. I got another funny story about sound engineer Andrew. I got
to
tell
I would it. Love to hear this on the air.
So sound engineer Andrew's favorite thing when we would take bus trips. So like we had two buses. Girls would get changed on one bus. Boys would get changed on the other. And I was a freshman when he was a junior in high school. So he got me with this. And then it was my favorite thing to watch
the
him
old
get
man.
Other people with it. He would sit on the bus as we were changing. And he would just loudly proclaim, hey, guys, is there a hole in my shorts? And you would turn and look, and he'd already pulled his whole dick and balls out of, like, the front part of his boxers, out of the hole in front of his shorts. And you'd look, and he's totally just hanging junk in front. And you're like, oh, God damn it! Dude, he would get so many fucking people with this. It's my favorite thing. And I've done it at work a couple times because like, we have to get changed in locker rooms. So
yeah.
I'll pull junk out and be like, hey, guys, is there a hole in my shorts?
Yeah, it was after waiting had come out where, like,
yeah,
rampant throughout the dorms. Like, you would just constantly be seeing dicks pulled in all kinds of different directions out. Like, people do the Spider-Man, which is the upside down hanging naked in doorways. Just waiting until somebody opens their door and there's just a dick in their face.
Seeing
it was the worst.
Seeing dudes waiting, naked is Lord. Never not funny, man. It's always fucking hilarious. I don't care. There's this.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I've been watching a shit ton of YouTube videos, and there's these two dudes in Australia, and I can't remember their name.
Dick and Bob.
Let's go with Dick and Bob. Sure. But they did this giant social experiment with it for 3 full days. Like one of them had earplugs in, and then also like the over the ear things to simulate deafness. And the other guy had his eyes like patched up and he wore like those. So they were basically.
See no evil, hear no evil.
They were deaf and blind.
Richard Pryor
like,
and that guy, Willy Wonka.
It was a really cool dynamic.
I can't think of his name right now.
Because the blind guy at first got really fucking like almost depressed over it. It's Gene Wilder, by the way.
Thank you. Well, he mouthed it.
I didn't see that. Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. But like he got really depressed after like the first day and like almost broke down and he was
really?
Like crying. Yeah, because he couldn't see and he's like, I don't know how the fuck we're gonna get through this. But then there's a lot of great jokes and for fucking posterity, I'll find the video and I'll put it in our notes because it's really funny. But at the end, the deaf guy takes his stuff off first, and then so the blind guy's getting ready to take his stuff off after not seeing for 3 days. So of course his friend that has been deaf just gets fully naked. Before he takes the patches off. So the first thing he sees is his friend's dick in his face. Oh my God. It's so fucking great, man.
I imagine it's like gravity, like where she gets to Earth and just like starts kissing the ground. Like you'd see anything. You'd just be like, oh, thank God.
Oh, you see it. He like registers what it is. He's like, God damn
it. I don't
care
if it's a dick.
Well, there we go, man. That's going to be the end of our episode. Let's shut the fuck up. Let's end it here. This was a good talk, man. I'm glad that we...
Yeah, I thought it turned out well.
Yeah, man. We come to terms on one. I think we were very similar and half-baked, but we were much more praiseworthy.
Yeah.
And then we'll finish it off strong with our final episode of Stoner Movie September. Yet to be determined what we're going to watch.
Surprise.
We've got a choice of two, and it depends on what it's going to come down to. So thank you guys for listening along in this weird experiment we've done.
Is the whole podcast an experiment you're talking about, or Stoner Movie September?
Just Stoner Movie September. We've never done a full month of movies. That's pretty crazy.
No, I like it because all of these movies have been less than 80 minutes.
Yeah, they're
like,
all really short.
Super short.
Really short. But it's
God
been
damn,
fun.
Fisher King was 2.5 hours.
God, like, I know, man. I know.
This is so much nicer.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad we did that one, but I don't think I ever want to revisit that one. But there we go. That's the third movie in Stoner Movie September. We got one more left, and we'll be wrapping it up. Ryan, thanks a lot, man. It's always good to talk to you, buddy.
Absolutely. Good talking to you.
Bye, guys. Grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.